Thank you, Rodney, for that beautiful rendition. Our speaker for today is not new to us, but some people that doesn't know him. He's been a very supportive of our Morna Union Academy. Can be Monterey, Modesto. Last week was in Sacramento. Sports, Bible Ball, he's always there, supporting the school and the wife as well. He's the husband of Diane, our secretary, the EUA. He loves to serve the Lord. His name is Carlos Interiano. Thank you.
Good morning.
All right. I have to begin, every time I preach, I have to make mention of this, and I feel like every time I do it, it helps me. But I get really, really nervous when I'm up here. It never gets easier, it never gets better. And so I want to encourage you to please pray for me. Right now, during the sermon, and even at the end of the sermon, because even after the end, I still feel nervous. But also pray for each other. I pray that the message will be a blessing for your neighbor and also a blessing for yourself. This morning, I wasn't sure if there was going to be church or not, and I am happy to see all of you here.
Amen.
And I'm also happy to see your faces. And one of the things that about the Sabbath is it tells us that it is a delight, and it's beautiful to see your faces as you smile. So thank you for your smiles, because that also helps me not be nervous. If you were upset or bothered, sometimes I think like, oh no, they're thinking about me. I'm probably doing something wrong. But please, thank you for coming. I encourage you guys to continue to trust in God in everything, in every moment of in any situation. So today's message will be a little bit different. Today's sermon is going to be a little bit different. Today's service is going to be a little different. I want to invite you to please participate a little bit. And the way that you will participate is pretty easy. You just say yes, or say no, or say amen, or say mercy, you know, praise the Lord. As long as you give a response, it will help me also not be nervous. Because if I ask a question, you don't answer, I'm like, oh no, I start getting more nervous and I start sweating. And I sweat easily. So I'm going to ask a few questions. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. So please participate. But also today's message will be one where I kind of want you to engage your minds. I was reading about how to give a presentation. And one of the things is that the speaker should always try to find ways to engage the minds of the people. So, my hand's shaking. So one of the things that I want to share with you is to please take notes. So right now, if I could get at least three young people to please help me out to pass out some papers. My wife has them. If I could just get anybody, just randomly stand up and help them up. So all we're doing is just passing the blank piece of papers and pencils. So that's the first thing we're gonna be doing. And what I'm gonna encourage you is to write a few things. I'm gonna ask you to please write this down, write that down, answer this question on your paper. But don't be afraid. Those answers that you put in those papers is basically just for you. You don't have to share it. You don't have to turn it in at the end of it. This is going to be kind of like a class, but it won't be something that you will be graded on. So don't feel nervous or don't feel like, oh no, I'm going to put the wrong answer. This answer is between you and God. So it's just to engage our minds, to help us to start thinking, reflecting. I know that there's times when I'm at church and I'm listening to the message, but oftentimes I'm just like, and I'm not really thinking. I'm just zoned out. I'm either playing games in my head or something, but I want you to be engaged today. And so when I catch myself being like that, I tend to pull out my phone, go to the notes, and then start taking notes, and then start writing things that connect with what the preacher said. So it's kind of something like that what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be taking a little notes, answering a few questions, just to help us be a little bit more engaged with today's message. Now, the first question that I'm going to ask, this is just raise of hands. How many of you tend to look at your bulletins? Raise your hands. Okay, so a few people. How many of you tend to read what the message, will be about, or what the title of the message is. Okay, a few people. I tend to do that often too. As soon as I get the bulletin, that's the first thing that I like to look at. I want to see what the title of the message is. And the reason why I do that is because I want to know what is the preacher going to be preaching about. And I try to guess in my own self, like, okay, is the message going to be about this, or is the message going to be about that? Is it about health? Is it about, you know, prophecy? So a lot of times when I read the bulletin, I go straight to the title, and then I try to find out what is the preacher going to preach about. And then the next thing that I look at is the scripture reading and try to see if I was close to it. And then from there on, still try to guess what is he going to preach about. So as the papers are being passed and as your pencils are arriving to you as well, the first question that I will have for you is that the title of today's message is 1 out of 28. Now, 1 out of 28. I want you to think about what or why did he name 1 out of 28? Why is the title of the message 1 out of 28? So this is where I want you to go ahead and write it in your paper. Try to take a guess. You don't have to get the right answer. Just try to think about, okay, 1 out of 28. What is it that the preacher is going to be preaching about today? Why did he put 1 out of 28? And oftentimes, you know, one of my favorite speakers, he makes mention that a lot of times he makes sure that he makes his title really clear and straight to the point so that it's something that you will remember when the Sabbath, you know, as church service is over. I remember I didn't grow up in the church, and then my cousin, who used to take me to church, he would always, after church service, we would drive home, and then he would ask me, what did you learn today? And it became something that we kind of did every day after church, and it kind of helped me remember and put in practice what I learned that day. So this is kind of one of the reasons. It's just so that we could remember what the message was about today. So again, the question is, why did the preacher title this message 1 out of 28? Just take a guess, write it down, and I'll give you a few seconds, and then I'll continue with the message. So 1 out of 28. Why did he put that? Okay, I think everybody already wrote something at least. So now I want you to write in big letters, not so big that covers the whole paper, but just a little bit bigger than the usual, and put 1 out of 28. And then put an underline on the bottom. So underline it, and then once you've done that, we'll continue. All right. So the first thing that we're going to go to is today's scripture reading was read on John chapter 6, verse 68. But today, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles, if you want. I also put it in the PowerPoint. To John chapter 6, verse 66. And I like opening my Bible too, just sometimes because I like to read a few more things. But in John chapter 6, verse 66, it lets us a little bit know what was the context of what we read this morning. So John chapter 6, verse 66, and it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Now, let me give you a little context of what happened here. So, in this story, there is not just the 12 disciples, but there's more disciples that were with Jesus. And at this time, what had happened previously is that Jesus had already fed the multitude. Hold on. I think I'm getting my stories. Yeah. Sorry, write down the response. Okay, there's something that happened, that caused the disciples to turn around. Not the 12, but the others. And during this time, I'm getting a little nervous. Let's just continue on, the next one. So then in John chapter 6, verse 67, it says, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away?" Now, this is the question that he asked his 12 disciples. Will you also go away? Now, If Jesus were to ask you that, after you've seen other people disappear and leave, what would your answer be? Go ahead and write that down. What would your answer be if Jesus were to ask you, will you also go away? Now, I'm not giving you the context yet because I realize that that's later on that I'm going to give you the context of it. But if Jesus asked you right now today, will you also go away, after you saw a few people disappear or leave, will you, what would your response be? Go ahead and just a quick response, yes, no, maybe. And if you want to explain it, you could go ahead and write it down. Explain why would you go, why would you stay? Okay, so now it's when I give you a little context of what's going on. So like I mentioned, the 12 disciples and the other disciples had been witnessing what God had been doing or Jesus had been doing at that time. And so what happened was that he had finished feeding the 5,000, and then later on he got on a boat and then he left. And when he left, he came back, and then there was people waiting for him. And as the people were waiting for him, they asked him again to feed them. And when that happened, Jesus did not give them what he asked, what they asked for. Instead, he starts teaching them lessons, spiritual lessons. And as he teaches them these spiritual lessons, that's when we get to the verse 66 where it says that then they left. Why is it that they left? Well, they left because they weren't happy with what they were receiving. They did not receive the food that they were asking for. Instead, they received spiritual lessons. And as you study the Bible, you realize that oftentimes people left Jesus because they weren't getting what they wanted. The question that I have for you is, are you the same way with Christ? If you don't receive what you want. And oftentimes what God wants to give us is lessons and not exactly what we want. How many of you know of Peter? All of us, right? A few of us. So Peter was often known for saying things without thinking. Oftentimes, he would say things, blur them out, or he would do things without thinking. How many of you are the same way? How many of you tend to say things without actually thinking about it? There's a few of us. How many of you know of people that often do that too? There's a few of us also that tend to, the person tends to say something without thinking of it, or does something without thinking of it, and then they get themselves in trouble. But Peter on this instance, he gives a response, and he says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. This time, Peter didn't answer in a way that got him in trouble, but instead he said a few things that were important, and that was that basically you have the words of eternal life. And that is basically what we're going to be studying about today, is what Peter said at that moment. He could have said, Jesus, to whom will we go? You have made miracles. Jesus, to whom will we go? You have healed the dead. You have healed the sick. You have raised the dead. He didn't answer that way, but instead he said, you have the words of eternal life. With that, let's just take a quick pause and have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue with the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us again to be here together. I pray that, Lord, as we continue with this message, that you will please be here right now at this moment, and that you will help our minds to be thinking a little bit, and help us to also, or for me, to remember what the message is of today. I pray that, Lord, you take away any fear, any nervousness, and that, Lord, at this moment, that your word may be uplifted, and that you will help us to understand what Peter mentioned about eternal life and how your words are those eternal life. And we ask this all in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the other thing that I was going to mention about today's message is that it's going to have a lot of stories. So that was the first story. The second story is found in Luke chapter 24, verse 32. And Luke chapter 24, verse 32, if you could turn your Bibles there, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 32. And it says, "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Now, let me give you a little context or the little story that goes with this. So this is talking about how the disciples got a little bit nervous. I mean, they got a little bit discouraged. That was the wrong word. They got a little bit discouraged. And what had happened is that Jesus had been crucified. Jesus had been crucified. He was beaten. Then they put him on the stake. And then they believed that he was dead. He was gone forever. And this is what they were discouraged about. They were discouraged because they thought he was the Messiah. They really believed it. And then next thing you know, Jesus dies. And so they're discouraged. They're walking on the road, and they're talking amongst themselves and just wondering what happened. Why is it that he died? Why did he leave them? And then a stranger walks to them. And this stranger tells them, why are you guys so sad? Why are you guys so discouraged? And he tells them, and the disciples tell him, well, where have you been? Haven't you heard? Jesus, you know, he died. We had our hope on him, yet he died. Now, as they start telling them this, the stranger comes to them and tells them, look, why are you so discouraged? All you slow of heart to remember what was written. And then it says in the Bible that he ended up explaining to them what was on the scriptures. And he says that from beginning from Moses, he started explaining to them about the Bible. And as he started explaining to them about the Bible, it says that their hearts started burning within them. Now, the question that I have for you is, was it because of the miracles that their hearts were burning? Was it? Why was it that in this verse it says that their hearts were burning? Because of the scriptures. It was not because of the miracles, not because of anything that Jesus was doing or because he revealed himself, but basically because Jesus was explaining to them the scriptures. So again, going back to the first story, was that Peter said something that who should we go to, God? Who should we go to, Jesus? You have the words of eternal life. He didn't say, who should we go to? You perform miracles. Who should we go to? You can bring the dead to life. But instead he said, because you have the word of life. In here, in this story right here, it says that their heart burned within them, and the reason why was because he opened the scriptures to them. Now, one of the things about the scriptures or about the Bible is that it has power to give life, and it has power to change lives. I remember when I first started reading the Bible. Again, my life, I didn't grow up as Adventist, I didn't grow up as a Christian, but it was the Bible itself that changed my life. I started finding peace as I started reading God's word. My life started changing for the better. And I finally could say, I am alive. Back then, I would feel like, you know, I didn't care about life, and I felt like I was just dragging my life away, basically living without sense. Yet, as I started reading the Bible, I realized, wait, there is sense to my life, and God has a purpose. And so that is what the scripture is able to do for you. Now, a couple of years back, the Adventist Church put out a book. And this book was called The Seventh-day Adventist Belief. And how many of you have ever seen this book before? Raise your hands. A few of you. Basically, in this book, it has 28 fundamental beliefs. How many? 28. 28 fundamental beliefs. And in these 28 fundamental beliefs, basically, it starts telling us, or it starts explaining to the world, because it was put out to explain to the world what is it that we actually believe in. And at this moment, this is what the title was all about. One out of 28, because we're going to be focusing on the first one being the Word of God. Now, before I continue on with the rest, I want to test you guys really quick. Just a quick little quiz. I want you to write something down, and I want you to tell me what the rest of the 28 are. Go ahead and just start writing. You can just make it up if you want. But go ahead. Again, this is just a quiz between you and God. I'm not going to grade it. But can you remember the rest of the 28 fundamental beliefs? I already gave you the first one being the Word of God. But what is the second one? What is the third one? What is the fourth? What is the fifth? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. What are those fundamental beliefs? Do you know them? Just write what you believe they are. You know, there was something that I heard. Again, I didn't grow up Adventist, but there was something that I heard that we were known for. It's interesting because we were called by this name. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. We were known as the people of what? The people of the book. I remember when I went to go study theology, that's the one thing that we kept bringing back, that we were once known as the people of the book. And why is that? Because we were able to break down our fundamental beliefs. We were able to share with people what we believe in the Bible. The question is, today, here, at this Seventh-day Adventist church, can we still be called the people of the book? Can we say, I am the people of the book? I am one of those people of the book. And the question and the answer is, yes, we could. If we choose today to start learning what is it that we believe, to start memorizing the scriptures. Now, is it important to read the Bible?
Yes.
It is. Yet oftentimes we put it to the side. And what today's message is about, not of a rebuke, but just of an encouragement of why we should study God's word. So 1 out of 28 was basically because today we're going to be studying about the first fundamental belief. And then after that, I want you to study the rest on your own because we can't go through all of them today. So one of the things that I really enjoyed when it comes to the scriptures is the invitation that it gives us to make sure that we ourselves know what we believe in. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show yourself approved, a workman not needed to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. An invitation for us to know and to be able to share it, so that way later on when we're questioned, we don't feel ashamed of what we believe because we don't know it. So study to show yourself approved, a workman not needed to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So now I'm going to ask some more volunteers, again, the same ones that helped out, to please pass out the second paper that my wife is going to give you. In case you didn't know the 28 fundamental beliefs, I made sure to hand them to you. So it's just the 28 fundamental beliefs, and I'm going to share with you a way of how you can memorize this a little bit easier, because if you couldn't write it down, hopefully this will help you out. Okay, so basically I'm going to share with you guys how I memorized it, or some of it, because I'm still trying to memorize all of them. So 1 out of 28. So 1 out of 28, and then these papers, again, just have the 28 fundamental beliefs. It's up to you whether or not you want to keep them. I encourage you to keep them so you can be able to share with someone. Because like we studied earlier, or what we saw earlier, it was when Jesus was explaining to them the scriptures that their hearts were burning within them. It wasn't just because they were reading them, but because someone was sharing it with them. Now imagine if you were able to share the scriptures with your friends, your coworkers. What experience will they have when you start sharing with them the Bible? Will it be the same? Will their hearts burn within them? And I don't mean it like a heartburn, like one of those bad ones, but a good one. You know, they felt a desire. They saw something. They desired what he was giving them, and that was the word of God. And then if I could just get one of them too, because I'm going to go, because in case I forget some of them. Thank you. So this is one way you guys could memorize it. And it's basically as of a story. We know, we believe, we have 28 fundamental beliefs. But the first thing that we need to remember is that we have the Holy Scriptures. That is our foundation. That is where we get the rest of the Bible. And in the Bible, that is where we are able to know about the Godhead. And as we know about the Godhead, we realize that there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is in this understanding that we realize that God created. He was the creator of the world. And as he created the world, we realize that there was that he decided to create humankind. So he created the humans. And as he created the humans, there was a great conflict that happened, a great controversy. Sorry, there was a creation, there was the nature of humanity, and then later on, God, there was a war in heaven, the great controversy or the great conflict. And because of this great conflict and sin came into the world, there was need of a savior. And so we learn about the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And as we learn about the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, we start to experience salvation and we start to grow in Christ. And then we realize, you know what? We're growing in Christ, but we can't do it alone. We need a church. And so the church is established. But then we realize, wait, the church can't exist without a mission. So the remnant creates a mission. And then we realize that we need to stay united. So there's unity in the body of Christ. And we also believe in baptism. We believe in also the Lord's Supper after we're baptized, that we participate of the Lord's Supper. And we start learning that we get spiritual gifts and that there's ministries in where we can participate. But there's also something that we learned, that the remnant have the gift of prophecy. And it's through the gift of prophecy that we understand what the law of God is, and we understand that the Sabbath is important. And on every Sabbath, we tend to give our faithful tithes. So we learn about stewardship. And we also learn about our Christian behavior, how we should behave, how we should talk, how should we relate to each other. But we also learn about marriage and family and how God established the marriage. And it is through this that we understand also about how Christ ministers to us in the heavenly sanctuary, and he will come back again. And we realize that the dead in Christ shall rise again because they will be resurrected. And then the millennium and the end of sin will happen. And then we will experience Christ in the new earth. So you saw how it was kind of like a story? Now, this is how it's going to help you a little bit memorize this. I don't expect you to do it the same way, but if you do it that way, then it gets a little bit easier for you to remember the 28 fundamental beliefs. Now, the question, oh, we already went through this. Sorry, this is the first time I use PowerPoint, so that's why it's getting even worse for me right now. I'm getting a lot more nervous. But one of the things is that when it comes to what we were studying or what we read earlier, when it comes to Peter's response, eternal life, you know, saying how, who should we go to? You have the words of eternal life, and going back to the road of Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us? That is what the Bible, or what God is intending for the Bible to be, or his word to be. Basically, something that will change our lives. Something that will reveal to us a little bit more about himself. Now, right here, I wrote down, and you can take notes if you want, but sometimes when I talk to my coworkers, because I work somewhere where not everybody's a believer, or they have their different religions, they ask me, how is it that you believe in the Bible? Why is it that you keep the Sabbath? Why is it that you really firmly believe that that the Bible is the Word of God? Well, because of what these six reasons that I have right here. One is because the handwritten accuracy. Now, I'm not going to explain every single one of them. I encourage you to write it down so that you could go Google it or put it on YouTube and learn what all of these mean. But one of them is the handwritten accuracy, and basically saying that, you know, from if you study the old scriptures, like the ones from, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and then you study the ones that we have right now here today, you'll notice that it's all accurate. It hasn't changed. You know, there is complete accuracy when it comes to the Word of God. The second reason is the archaeological consistency. Basically, archaeologists have confirmed the accuracy of the Bible stories. And it's interesting to me because, you know, if we believe that, you know, there was a city named Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, is there archaeological evidence? And the answer is there is. But it's interesting because there's other people that have, or other religions that have their own book. And when it comes to archaeological evidence, they can't find none for their beliefs. So that's the one thing that we could assure our trust in the Bible is that there is archaeological consistency, but there's also scientifically compatibility, meaning that the Bible concurs with science and science concurs with the Bible, or that they both relate to each other. They both are able to prove each other. The fourth one is internal harmony. Basically, they don't contradict each other, and that's also amazing because if you think about it, there was more than one writer in the Bible. Ultimately, God was the one that inspired them, but there was more than one writer in many years, and yet none of them contradict each other. And so that's another reason why we could believe that the Bible is something that we could trust. The next one is proof of predictive prophecy or prophecy has been fulfilled. And you could see this in the book of Daniel as we're studying in Sabbath school. The book of Daniel shares with us different prophecies and we have seen them fulfilled. Not only the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and the book of Revelation is being fulfilled today in our world today. The next one is the plea of the Bible and what the Bible says about itself. And basically the Bible talks about itself and it says that this is the word of God. So why is it that I believe that we can trust the Bible? Well, these are the six reasons. One, the handwritten accuracy. Two, the archaeological consistency. Three, scientific compatibility. Four, eternal harmony. Fifth, proof of predictive prophecy. And then six, the plea of the Bible and what the Bible says about itself. So with that, there is also benefits in reading the Bible. And I want to encourage you guys to find other promises in the Bible of why is it important for us to study the Bible. The first one, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Basically, without God's word, we're dead. Spiritually, mentally, physically, even emotionally. Psalms chapter 119, verses 9 to 12, it says, how can a young man keep his behavior? I know it in a different version. It says, by guarding in accordance with your word, I have sought you with all my heart. Do not let me drift away from your commands. I have stored what you have said in my heart, so I won't sin against you. Blessed are you, Lord. Teach me your statutes. Another benefit is if you're struggling with sin, the word of God is going to help you. A lot of times people believe like, no, I can never let go of sin. But the word of God is being cleared right here that we could overcome sin, and that is through his word. Like I mentioned earlier, my life was completely different before I started reading the Bible. I had a lot of addictions to a lot of things, but yet it was God's word who changed me. There was times when I tried by myself to change this, to change that, to not do this, to not do that. And every time I tried by myself, I just fell harder and deeper into it. It was until I started reading God's word that my life started changing, and I didn't even realize it was changing until I felt like, I guess it was too late when I realized, but anyways, it was a good thing that I changed, that my life changed. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for correction, for instruction, for, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished into all good works, basically that we may become perfect in God, that our characters may be changed, basically. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 through 9, I'm not going to read it all, but basically I highlighted what I want you to focus on, is that all these stories that we find in God's word is for our hope. And how many of us need hope today? A lot of us. Even our coworkers need hope. Even those who are fearing of what's happening today in the world need hope. And how can we give them hope? Well, by sharing the scriptures. If we could go back to being the people of the book and share with people what we believe, we could bring hope to others. Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oftentimes we have questions of what are we going to do in the future? What am I going to study? What am I going to do? Well, in God's word are the answers. Ask God and he will reveal it. We need to seek God's will. And how can we seek God's will? Through his word. And then the last one, I didn't write it down there, because I want us to turn there. But the last one is, I believe, it's the most important one. And again, there's more promises in the Bible why we should study the Bible. But this one's one of my favorite ones because it actually pinpoints why we should continue to read God's Word, memorize Scripture. John chapter 5, verse 39. And once you have it, please say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So it says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So why should we study God's Word? Why should we read God's Word? Well, yes, eternal life helps. But because they talk about Jesus. Because they help us learn about Jesus. And the question is that oftentimes when we go to church, we know, you know, that we need to have a relationship with God. We know that, you know, we have to have this relationship with Jesus. But the question is, how do we do that? Well, by reading God's Word. The more we know Him, the more of a relationship we have with Him. We allow Him to speak to us, and in prayer, we speak back to Him. Oh, that's the end. But basically, one of the things that I want to share now is, again, like I mentioned, there was going to be a few stories. It's just the last story, just to kind of like bring this out a little bit more. When it came to knowing Jesus and everything, I didn't know how to build a relationship with God. I didn't know, how can you speak with someone who you can't see? How can you interact with someone you don't know if he really exists? Once I started reading God's Word, like I mentioned, it changed my life. But the way that it changed my life is because I started learning more about who He was and character and who He is. And it's kind of hard for me to explain this unless I give an example. So how many of you have ever read a book by Ty Gibson? Do you guys even know who Ty Gibson is? No? Okay. So basically, he's an Adventist author. And there's a book that he put out. It's called An Endless Falling in Love. And I do encourage it to anybody who's thinking about relationship, anybody who's thinking about God and how to build a relationship with God. It's a really good book. And there's a story in here in chapter 9. And I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to give you a little summary of that chapter. But basically, it talks about how there was two kings. And then I'm not going to name them by the name because it gets confusing, but let's just call King 1 as King Love, and then there's King Fear, okay? And the story tells that King Love, the way that he conquered kingdoms was not through wars or anything like that, but through love, through his character. Everybody just wanted to serve him. They just came over. They surrendered because they wanted him. But then there was a king of fear who ruled with fear. And he ruled with wars and fights and imprisonment. So there's these two kings, and then they ended up getting in a battle, and the king of love won. But he didn't kill the king of fear, but instead he exiled him. He kicked him off, and he could never be welcome again. But there was something that happened on the king of love's kingdom. And that is that there was a rumor, there was a lie. And basically that lie was that, hey, that king of love, he's only a king of love because he has a mask. He's not really like that. Does it sound familiar? So it's a king of love. And in reality, if you get in his bad side and you don't obey him, he will kill you. And that's why there's no one that disobeys him. It's not because of love. It's because he kills in secret. So there was a few people in his kingdom that believed that lie. And he had a conflict. The king had a conflict. And it was not that because of the rumors. He didn't really care about the rumors because he knew that eventually, as time passes by, his love will win them. But it was more because he was in love with someone. But that person didn't pay him no homage, didn't respect him, didn't like him. Instead, she disliked the king. And he always wondered why. Why is it that she doesn't dislike me? And most likely he thought maybe she believes the rumors as well. But he really loved her because he sent spies to find out about her, and he loved her character. He loved the way that she was. But yet he was afraid of approaching her because he knew that she didn't like him. And so he decided to dress himself as a common person and to go into the kingdom and go find and learn more about her. And so he did. They met. They fell in love. And the woman never knew that that was the king until one day he's like, okay, I'm ready to take you to my place, would you like to visit who I live with? And she's like, yes. And they got on a horse and they started riding to his place. And as they got closer and closer, she realized, hey, we're getting closer to the kingdom. We're getting closer to the castle. We're getting closer to the palace. And as they ride along, people around them start bowing down. And they start giving them homage and saying, long live the king, and stuff like that. And then she's getting confused because she's not understanding what's going on, because she doesn't know that that's the king. Until finally they step down and he says, welcome to my place. And she realized, like, whoa, this is the king that I thought was a bad person. This is the king that I thought, you know, had done all those evil things and that killed people. In reality, is the man that I'm in love with. And how did she fell in love with him? By getting to know him. I'm going to share a story that my wife doesn't like me to share. But basically is how I fell in love with her. So basically what happened was there was a canvassing program. I was doing door-to-door ministry. And this was back in 2008. And at that time, I had a girlfriend. So when I arrived to the program, I wasn't looking for another girl because I felt like, oh, I already have my girl. So when I saw her, I was like, not interested. And the same thing with all the other girls, not interested. But then, you know, the summer ended and I ended up with no girlfriend because she ended up dumping me. But the next summer came and then I saw Diana again with all the other girls. But because I was heartbroken, I'm like, not interested. Because I felt like, you know, it's not worth it. It's not worth having a relationship, blah, blah, blah. You know, heartbroken. So then the third summer comes along, and I realize that she's doing canvassing program, and I'm like, that's cool, but still, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in her. I'm not interested in any other girl. I'm like, it's just, you know, I just rather not have any relationships whatsoever. And then summers pass by and months, and she ends up calling me one day because we still kept in contact through Facebook. We kept in contact through social media, saying like, hey, how's it going? How's school? It's good, good. God, you know, God bless. Take care. Bye. You know, just something simple, something small. But then one day she gives me a call and then she says, Carlos, can you pray for me? I'm going through a heart surgery. And I felt sad and I felt bad because oftentimes she was the one that would reach out to me or to reach out to others to try to build a friendship. But I've always been shy, like I am right now. I've always been shy and I've always been to myself, so I never actually extended myself to her. And I remember I felt sad, and so I prayed, and I was like, dear God, please don't let her die. Like I know she's going through the surgery. Please don't let her die. I feel bad because I should have made friends with her, be with her surgery, and before she dies, help me to have a friendship with her. And so then I decided to start calling her more. Again, this is going back to why the Word of God and why we should be studying and how the Word of God is going to reveal to us Christ. It is through building a relationship. And so I started talking to my wife, to Diana first. It was Diana. And then, you know, I started talking to her a little bit more, and I was like, oh, cool. She's actually a cool person to talk to. It's nice having a female friendship. And I really enjoyed that friendship because, you know, I learned a lot from her. I would share things, and she would inspire me, and I thought that was really cool. But I never saw her as more than just a friend. And then one day, I ended up, because I was doing Bible work in different places, and then I ended up doing Bible work for the Spanish bilingual Visalia Church. And I found out that she ended up living there when she started working around here. And she told me that she was going to go for a run. And I was like, oh, no, like I always run with my sister at night because I always feel like I need to protect her. And so I saw her like a friend and like a sister. So I was like, well, I'll go run with you. And in my head, it was like to protect her. I just didn't tell her that, but I felt like, you know, it's my responsibility as a brother to make sure to take care of her. And so we went for a run, but I remember when I saw her the first time after a while that I was like, there's something about her that looks different. But I didn't catch it. I didn't catch it because I was looking at her and I was like, maybe she does makeup now. Maybe she did her hair different. So I went back, once we ran, I went back to my computer, and I went to the summer pictures, and I was comparing the picture of her today and then the picture of the summer, and I realized, like, no, both of those times, she didn't wear makeup. Both of the times, it's the same hair color. She hasn't lost weight. It's the same thing. And I was like, there's something that's bugging me. There's something weird about her. So then the next time we went running, again, I saw her, and I was like, there's something about you that's different. Then the third time we went running, it was bugging me. What is it that's different? And then it finally clicked. I finally realized it. I was like, oh, I think I like her. I was like, oh, this isn't good. I was like, I don't want to destroy a friendship. And so I ended up moving away. And I ended up going to Puerto Rico. But it was a little bit of that because I was afraid of, you know, being in love and whatnot. But I left. But I still kept in contact with her. And I still kept learning more about her. And finally, I prayed about it. And God told me that, you know, that's the one. And so we ended up dating. And the way that our relationship started was also a long-distance relationship. Now, going back to our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is going to be a long-distance relationship for a little bit. But soon it will be close. How do we get that relationship? It is through reading God's word. How will our lives change through reading God's word? How will we let go of bad habits and bad sins through reading God's word? And so that's why it's one of our fundamental beliefs. It's the number one, because it changes people's lives, but it also helps us understand what the Bible teaches about itself. So I want to give you that encouragement today. Like I mentioned, we used to be known as the people of the book. And why were we known as the people of the book? Because we knew how to break down scripture. I believe that there's some of us here that can still do that today. Maybe some of us are still struggling, but I want to encourage you to continue reading God's word, not only to be able to share with others, but that it may change your lives. And I'm going to share one more thing before we end, and is that, yes, it's beautiful to hear God's word. It's beautiful to read it, but we shouldn't just stop there. Let's share it. Because that's one of the things that I've also noticed. Yes, I started reading God's word. It changed my life, and I felt like finally I'm living. But the moment that I started sharing it, that's when I felt like now I'm doing what God wants me to do. Now I felt purpose. And that's what I want to encourage you today, to read the Bible, share the Bible, live the Bible. May we be known again as the people of the book. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to have been able to once more to have studied your word. I pray that this little encouragement would change people's lives, would truly encourage us to continue to move forward with your word, to not give up, especially in moments like this when people need hope. Help us to be able to bring the hope to them. Guide us, direct us, take away fear from our minds. I know that I'm afraid of sharing your word because I get nervous and everything. But Lord, if you say that you will be with us, what do we need to fear? So guide us, give us wisdom, give us courage, give us boldness to study, to understand, and also to teach others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.